Friends, I have the privilege of being in this beautiful cemetery here in Houston. The weather's really awesome. It's so wonderful. And you know, as I walk around the cemetery, one of the things that I notice is that it's families. It's a lot of people that are related to each other. They're all friends and families here, as probably most with any cemetery. But it comes to mind because we're continuing and doing part two in this chapter on family, marriage, and children, and what Maria Sima learned from the souls in purgatory. So please join me in today's video as we begin exploring not just some of the outer things of families, but the inner details of how we should be in families. Join me in today's video. Please pray with me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of family. And we want to follow not just the rules, but have the inner qualities of the type of family that you want us to be. Please help us learn from the souls in purgatory and Maria Sima everything that we need to do and how we need to be so that we can be holy and beautiful in our families. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So in the first part, we talked about some of the details about marriage, and now she gets into parenting and how we should parent better the children that were entrusted by God. The first question, beginning even with the first part of a person's life, is it a sin for a mother not to breastfeed or hold her child? Maria's answer is, if she is physically capable of breastfeeding and chooses not to for some self-serving reason, yes, it is. And not holding a child also stunts it emotionally later in life and is thus, of course, a sin. Now, we know this from psychology and from science, the importance of touch and emotion, but we need to know that about God, too. That God isn't just a God that gives us rules, but He cares about the details of how we love. He wants us to love well, not just follow rules, not just follow commandments, not just do religious things, but be better lovers, be able to love people in a better way. The next question, is it better to be poor with many children or wealthy with only one or two children? And she responds, never may we interfere with God's plan in giving us children, and He will always supply plenty for those in His plan. I know far more truly happy people among the poor than I do among the wealthy, and I know plenty of both. The wealthy are far more burdened with the effects of their ancestors' sins. More wealthy people come to me for help in this regard than do the poor. And this is not because the poor cannot reach me. They also come. Going on this topic, and we're going to get into it a little bit later, but this is something especially here in the United States and in many countries in the West that we really struggle with. We struggle with this idea. We want to have so much money to feel safe in case something happens. And we have to realize that we cannot live our lives based on in case. Well, what if? Well, what about that? Those are not excuses. We need to let go of those fears and trust in Jesus and have faith that He will provide no matter what. That's what faith is all about. Faith is about living outside of the, well, just in case, let's have $1 million at the bank, or let's not have too many children because just in case something bad happens. We cannot use that as an excuse to live. First of all, we're decreasing the quality of our life because God also often wants us to live a life that has so much more adventure and is so much more bold by trusting in Him and taking these sacrifices. The next question. Yet most of the world governments, as the meetings in Cairo just showed us, speak, however, of the serious threat of overpopulation. What do you respond to this? And Maria says, this is selfish and misguided nonsense, and again, entirely orchestrated by those same banks. Of the approximately 6 billion on Earth today, it is true that about a third are starving, but that is only because of the greed of a few. There are statistics available that prove that the world could feed 50 billion or more if the energy and food were only distributed justly. The West's greed angers God greatly, and He will do something about this very soon. I am sure, I know He will. My friends, this interview took place probably about 15 years ago, and I think we can safely say that God is doing something about this greed that we had. We have not been close to God. We have not been faithful, and especially in ways that we are able to. We have not been generous with those at need. It's always, and it's often been an observation that I've had as well, that if we were generous, and not even generous to an amount where we had nothing, but if we were generous with other people, so many people could have so much more, and all of us could be happy. For instance, in my home country of El Salvador, I noticed that there are so many poor, and I saw that ever since that I was little. And I thought to myself, if only the very rich gave a little bit of their money to the poor would be so much better off, and there'd be so much peace. But what do you have? You have a lot of greedy rich people, and then you have a lot of crime. And the greedy rich people do everything they can do to protect their money. If only they would give that money to others, there would be no need for crime. There would be a better relationship amongst the different classes, and everyone would be happier. Everyone would be better. Of course, this can't be something that's forced, but it has to be something that we do willingly. Another question later on in the chapter. Have the souls said anything about physical punishment upon children? She responds, yes, they have. And it is here that I was attacked by Germany's Der Spiegel magazine a couple of years ago. They said that I supported beating children. That was a lie. The poor souls have said that a spanking or a slap is necessary and good when it is with a very stubborn and disobedient young child. A small slap is not harmful and will be forgotten on the conscious level very quickly, but the consequence of its stubbornness will be remembered deep down in its subconscious for a very long time. Of course, this should only be done very sparingly, but if one does not do that and then waits until the child is older, it will be too late, and you will suffer at the hands of your children. An older child remembering in its subconscious that a slap came when it was only 2, 3, or 4 will later only need a particular look from the parent to act correctly. Many parents of today have already learned what fruits their overdone tolerance has produced. Physical violence in the home is a huge sin against love, but carefully placed physical discipline is a God-given necessity at appropriate ages and times. From that answer, the words that stood out to me, and probably to you, are that God does not want physical violence. He does want physical discipline. And we need to not be afraid to distinguish between the two. One is using something in an extreme, and another is using it correctly. And at the end of the day, that's at the center, and that's the fruit of the Christian life, that we use everything that we have in its right amount and not in excess. This could be food, sex, technology, pleasure, everything used in its proper amount and in the right place is a gift from God. Whereas things that are used or abused, obviously they become addictions. A question later on in the chapter. Many parents today say that Christian parents are too authoritarian with their children. How do you respond to this remark? No parents should be ultra-authoritarian with their children, for if they are, they will soon lose their obedience, affection, and support. There are plenty of parents who are too authoritarian with their children and who are not Christians at all, so that remark is not really a valid one. Christian parents should be far more authoritative than they should be authoritarian. Any necessary strictness should come early in the children's lives. Later, the parents who should know the truth about God should teach them to the children with much love. Always being negative with do not do this and do not do that is in no way being Christian. The parents should consistently emphasize the do's, the positive, and back them up immediately with evidence they can understand. Tell them that good will come to them with those do's. Parents should imitate God's mercy for them and always show the same mercy and kindness to their children. By the way, this is being filmed on Divine Mercy Sunday. Happy Divine Mercy Sunday. I hope you were able to celebrate it in some ways. But it's important for us, again, to use that idea that we should be authoritative, teach with love, teach with mercy, be disciplined, be holy ourselves, and pray for our children. Now, there's no magic cure, and there's no guarantee that our children will do everything that we think that they should do, or everything that we want. Look at Adam and Eve. They started out with a perfect relationship with God, and yet they still sinned. So whenever you have a child, it's always a gamble. You always have to leave it to their freedom, into God's will. But we can do our part and know that those are seeds that indeed are planted in the hearts of our children. And a last question for us to talk about. What is your response to the many well-meaning Christian parents who say and act out that their children should be permitted to choose a religion that is right for them when they grow up? And she responds, "Then they are simply permitting Satan and secular society to lead them away from the absolute truth about our loving God. What loving parent would let its child choose between a food that nourishes and heals and one that could slowly weaken, poison, and kill them? What parent would willingly let its children go without love and warmth? Parents who say and do this have never prayed or even realized and nurtured their own goodness, and in the combination of these, God himself is being ignored and thus hurt very badly when this happens." At the root of this confusion that parents sometimes say, "Well, I'm going to let my child choose their own religion," is a failure to understand the true beauty of the Catholic faith. If people only knew the gift of the Catholic faith, the treasure that it holds, the amount of blessings that it bring, it would be a no-brainer. It would be so obvious that that's what you want. You know, if your parents, or if you had as much money as you could possibly dream of, and you could pick the best school for your child, wouldn't you send them to the best school? It would be a no-brainer. You wouldn't give them a choice. You would say, "Look, you're going to Harvard. I can pay for it. It's the best school. Go there." In the same way, if we truly understood how the Catholic faith is the best faith for us, it's the one that Jesus left us here on earth, and it's the one that will heal us, teach us, and protect us the most, then we would gift it to our children. My friends, thank you for joining me in today's video. Please continue praying for the souls in purgatory. Please pray for me and this YouTube channel. And if you were able to, and even if you weren't, have a happy Divine Mercy Sunday. May God's mercy always be with you, and I'll see you in the next video.